Please stand if you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Following a moment of silence, let us confess our sin to God, our merciful Father. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We have turned away from each other in our thinking, speaking, and doing. We have done the evil you forbid and have not done the good the freedom of your forgiveness grants us. Do repent and is truly sorry for our sins. Have mercy on us, kind Father, because of the obedience of our brother Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive us all that is past, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, move us to serve you faithfully, set our feet upon the new path of life, and build your kingdom here through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to him. May he keep you in his grace by the Holy Spirit, lead you to greater faith and obedience, and bring you to live with him forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. You have given your only Son as a sacrifice for sinners. Grant us grace to receive the fruits of his redeeming work with thanksgiving and daily follow in his way. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson. The righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. St. Paul writes, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as amongst the rest of the Gentiles. I am under the obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, 5th chapter. Hearing his word in faith passes us from death to life. Jesus said, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There's a story of a man who, on one Saturday morning, stopped at a large grocery store. As he is walking to the entrance, he saw a red Corvette driving in the lane in front of the store. The man started to cross in front of it, and the Corvette stopped to let him go into the store. Now, maybe that's happened thousands of times before, where a car stops to let someone pass in front of it in a parking lot area. But this time, the man hesitated. Perhaps the red Corvette made him nervous. I mean, just a tap on the accelerator and the man would go flying, since, as you know, a Corvette can pick up speed in a hurry. But the man crossed anyway. He put his faith in the driver that he would stay stopped and let him go by unharmed. And he did. The man's faith in the driver turned out well. We use different words to describe faith. We trust that the 911 operator will direct our call to the fire station that will most quickly get to our house. We rely on the bank manager to have enough money available when we go through the ATM. We believe that our closest friend will not betray a confidential conversation. Faith, trust, rely on, believe. They all get the simple confidence that we have in someone of something. Of course, our faith can be misplaced as well. There's another story of a young boy who was watching his mom change a light bulb in the kitchen. The house had those old wooden kitchen chairs that became wobbly after use. The joints would dry out and get loose over time. Well, as his mom climbed up on one of those chairs with the light bulb in hand, the next thing he knew, the chair collapsed, and she hit the floor with a sickening sound of bones breaking. Her wrist was misshapen, and a trip to the hospital was needed. She put her faith in that chair, and it wasn't trustworthy. You put faith in another driver to stop at the red light, and then you're slamming on the brakes to avoid an accident. We've heard about 9/11 operators who did not take someone seriously, and the news headlines report a murder by an estranged husband. You believe your friend will keep a secret, but the looks you get at work tell you otherwise. You trust your money with a financial advisor, and your retirement funds suddenly disappear. Yes, we can place our faith, trust, belief in the wrong thing or person. Now, this faith in the right thing or person is not only important in our everyday lives, but even more so in our spiritual lives. When it comes to our relationship with God, we want to be sure that our faith will be right, not disastrous. We want to hold on to what will bring life eternal and not death. We want to trust what brings salvation, not damnation. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans just what will make for that right relationship with God that brings life and salvation. He confidently asserts that he is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. But what is this gospel? Paul starts out his letter with a clear confession of the gospel. It begins with God's promises. At the very beginning, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, they heard of an offspring, one of their descendants, who would crush Satan's head. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a child who would be born one day, who would also be the son given. Isaiah also spoke of how this servant of God would suffer for his people. He'd be beaten, bloodied, and bruised. All the prophets looked forward to the day the Messiah would come and bring salvation to the world. And those promises came true in Jesus. God was faithful in sending his son to be born of the Virgin Mary, a descendant who can trace his family history back through the famous King David to Adam and Eve. God's faithfulness sent his son to death on a cross. Salvation came to earth in Jesus, who faithfully came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then God's faithfulness was on display one glorious Easter morning. With power over even the grave, he brought Jesus out of the tomb. Jesus crushed Satan's head, and he is Lord of all. The gospel is Jesus. Paul is not ashamed to tell anyone and everyone that his faith is in Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes in this Lord. Paul will rely on Jesus and Jesus alone for life eternal. He is trusting in the Savior for that right relationship with God. Paul's faith is holding on to Jesus. You know, we confess the same thing when we sing a certain hymn. We echo Paul's words he wrote in verses 16 and 17. Listen to the first stanza of "I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus." I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. Faith alone brings the right relationship with God. Faith in Jesus alone. But the temptation is to trust in something else besides Jesus. The struggle comes when we misplace our trust in someone or something else. In the United States today, many people have this happy optimism about how things will turn out in the end. Most of our movies and books have happy endings. And we just believe the same thing about our relationship with God. Some say hell doesn't exist, so everyone will end up in heaven anyway. So why worry about it? Some say as long as you try to do what's right, God will welcome you home. Well, of course, the really bad people like mass murderers and terrorists or rapists will be left out. But everyone else is pretty much going to be okay. But can we trust this happy optimism about what God will do? Or maybe we're tempted by a certain grading system when we went to school. We hoped the teacher would grade on a curve. Maybe we thought we could do better than most of our classmates, so we're going to get an A, or at worst, a B. We'll pass with no trouble. So we hope God will grade on the curve as well. We know we'll do better than the people in prison, or those who are scamming people out of money, and power-hungry politicians. We'd be in the upper half of the population in God's eyes. Or would we? But can we rely on how good we really are in God's judgment? And does God really grade on a curve? Do you see what's going on here? We're starting to put our faith in some popular belief about God instead of what God's word says. We're relying on how good we are instead of God's faithfulness, and we don't want to do that. There was a high school biology teacher named Mr. Wolf. He had a simple way of giving grades. No curve. You just showed him what you knew. On the final exam, he would have 100 note cards with test questions on them, and you could pick how many you wanted to answer. You pick 10 and you got one wrong, you're at 90%. And that was a B. But the scary choice was to pick just one card, all or nothing, A or F. Get it right and you pass. Get it wrong and you fail. No one ever took just one card, but with our spiritual lives, that's the only option we have. Are you ready to take just one card? Because when it comes to our relationship with God, that's finally what it comes down to. You either answer Jesus or you put your faith in someone or something else. And listen to how God grades that answer. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. We all should go with Jesus instead of happy optimism of being good enough on our own. Our faith is in Jesus and Him alone. Paul's was, and yours too. In 1546, the great reformer of the church, Martin Luther, approached the last moments of his life. He was 62 years old and spent the last 30 years of his life fighting for the truth that faith alone brings salvation. He taught that Jesus alone makes our relationship with God right and good. His sermons came back to Jesus, and he called the people to trust in that Savior. When death was near, Martin Luther was asked by his friend Justice Jonas, "Do you want to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine you have taught?" He answered emphatically, "Yes." Luther's last words were, "We are beggars, this is true." He would not trust in anything or anyone else. No, it was Jesus, only Jesus, for full salvation, great and free. With that in mind, I close by giving you verse 6 of "I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus." "I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. Never let me fall. I am trusting Thee forever and for all." Amen. We receive our first fruits and offerings. Please stand as you're able. We are the righteous who live by faith. Father God, we trust that you are faithful to your word, which says, We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Galatians 2:16. We ask that you strengthen our faith so that we trust in Jesus alone, and also that you grant the same faith to those who are not yet justified in your sight. Lord, as we are the righteous who live by faith, Father God, we trust that you are faithful to your word, which says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. We ask that you strengthen our faith so that we live bold lives in obedience to you and are not ashamed of you in our witness to others. Lord, as we are the righteous who live by faith, faithful God, we trust that you are faithful to your word, which says, now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 6-7. We ask that you strengthen the faith of those who are undergoing trials in their lives, so that they praise and glorify you even in the midst of their struggles. We now lift up to you someone in our own lives in need of the help, strength, comfort, and healing that only you can provide in a moment of silence. Lord, as we are the righteous who live by faith, Father God, we trust that you are faithful to your word, which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8-10. We ask that you strengthen our faith so that each day of our lives we do those works that are good in your sight. Lord, as we are the righteous who live by faith, Father God, we trust that you are faithful to your word, which says, Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. 1 Peter 1, 20-21. We ask that you strengthen our faith so that just as you brought Jesus out of the grave by your mighty power, our hope is in our future resurrection from the dead by that same man. Lord, as we are the righteous who live by faith, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has also taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us all pray together. Almighty and merciful God, As you did to Martin Luther, you have opened our hearts to hear your word, which has saved us from our sin. Strengthen our faith so that we may live confidently under your care and spread the news of your grace in all we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us in this faith and for life eternal.